You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
All right. I want to have the court reporter, if we could, read back Mr. Wood's previous question before the sidebar, and then I'll see if there's an objection held by defense.
Question, how did you become aware of that event?
Is there an objection to that, Mr. Pryor?
No, not to that question.
Okay, then Mr. Wood, just proceed with another question.
I don't think that there's no objection to the question. I don't think it's been answered yet.
Okay. You can answer.
We were advised through the course of our investigation that...
Judge, I'm going to object at this point. The question is whether he was advised, not what he was advised of, but whether he was advised.
Our response, Mr. Wood?
Not quite sure I understand that objection, Your Honor.
I don't as well, so you can continue with your response.
Can you repeat the question, please?
How did you become aware of the events of October 9th, 2019?
Through the course of our investigation, we were aware of those events through speaking with Fremont County Sheriff's Office.
Why was it important to you in investigating your case to share information and receive information from Fremont County?
It was important because the suspects in that case were the exact same suspects in our case. And so we wanted to make sure that we shared information so nothing was missed. At that point, we were still looking for two small children. And so it was imperative to us that we shared information and gathered information from neighboring counties and anybody that was involved with this case.
And did you also confer with Arizona law enforcement?
We did, yes.
Detective, are you aware of who Charles Vallow was?
Yes.
Who was he?
Charles Vallow was married to Lori Vallow.
Is he alive?
No, he is not.
Do you know when he died?
Charles died July 11th, 2019.
Are you aware of how he died?
Charles was shot by Alex Cox, Lori's brother.
Now, you testified earlier that your initial involvement in this case involved looking for a Jeep.
That's correct.
And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe you testified that you were looking for that Jeep because it was requested by Arizona law enforcement.
That's correct, yes.
And are you aware of why they were looking for that Jeep?
Yes, I am.
Why were they looking for that Jeep?
That Jeep was a suspect in an attempted homicide of Brandon Boudreaux, who was married to Lori's niece, Melanie Boudreaux. The suspect in that homicide was also Alex Cox.
Detective, going back to October 9th, 2019 in Tammy Gable, are you aware of the incident that took place with Tammy Gable?
Yes, I am.
What was it?
Judge, I'm going to object. There's no foundation as to how you became aware of it.
Sustained.
Through your investigation, did you become aware of what happened to Daybell?
Yes, I did.
And how did you become aware of that information?
Sharing information with Fremont County.
And so was this part of the collective knowledge of the case that you were working
on? That's correct, yes.
And did you aid in that investigation as well?
I did.
So you personally became aware of these events?
Correct.
Based on your knowledge and your investigation, are you aware of any event involving Tammy Daybell on October 9th, 2018?
Judge, again, there hasn't been proper foundation.
I think at this point I've established that it's through his investigation and knowledge, Your Honor.
This objection's overruled.
You can answer the question.
Yes, I'm aware.
And what was that event?
October 9th, 2019, Tammy Daybell believes that she was shot at in the driveway of the defendant Daybell's residence.
And are you, when you say shot at, did she, are you aware of what she, how she thought she was shot at?
She initially reported that it was possibly a paintball gun.
Detective, in your investigation, did you ever put together timelines of events that took place?
Yes, I did.
Why is it important to do that?
Just to establish who the key figures were and the key dates to aid in our investigation so we can make sure that we share the accurate and correct information with the other agencies.
And in preparing for this trial, did you prepare any charts of key figures to aid the jury in understanding your testimony and the testimony of the trial?
Yes, I did.
And was that based on your involvement in the case?
Yes.
And your investigation?
Correct.
And based on information, I'm sorry, that wasn't very well said, based on the information you gained from your investigation?
That's correct.
Your Honor, I'd ask that the witness be handed State's Exhibit 30. Detective, do you have State's Exhibit 30 in your hand?
Yes, I do.
What does it purport to be?
Those are the key figures that I put together as far as the investigation goes, photographs.
And did you do that to aid this jury in understanding who the people involved in this case are?
Yes.
And did you do that in anticipation of your testimony?
Yes, I did.
Right. And are those the pictures attached with those names, are those true and accurate representations of those, of the individuals attached to those names?
Yes, they are.
Your Honor, for demonstrative purposes only, the state would move to enter State's Exhibit 30 into evidence.
Any objection? For demonstrative purposes, no.
Very well. Exhibit 30 is marked for that reason.
May I publish?
Yes.
Detective, if you can just use your pointer and just, for purposes of the record, read the names attached with each picture.
Sure. This is Lori Vallow Daybell, Charles Vallow, Alex Cox, who's Lori's brother, Chad Daybell, Tammy Daybell, his deceased wife, Tylee Ryan, who is a daughter to Lori, JJ Vallow, who's a son to Lori, and Melanie Pulowski Boudreaux, she was remarried, is the niece to Lori Vallow.
Now, when you say that JJ was Lori Vallow's son, was he also Charles Vallow's son?
Yes, he was.
And that was by way of adoption, correct?
That's correct.
And so Alex Cox was JJ and Tylee's uncle?
Yes.
Detective, similar to that last chart, did you prepare a timeline in anticipation of your testimony?
Yes, I did.
And did you do that based on your experience and knowledge of the case?
Yes, I did.
And it was based on information you gained through your investigation?
That's correct.
And did you do that to aid the jurors in understanding just the basic timeline of the events that happened in this case?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'd ask the witness be handed State's Exhibit 31.
Judge, could we approach, please, for the sidebar?
Yes.
This time, ladies and gentlemen, the jury, there's an evidentiary issue to resolve, which we are going to take up outside of the presence of the jury. We'll do that as quickly as we can. So I will be out on the bench while I research this momentarily. Then we'll come back on and make a ruling outside of the jury's presence, bring them back in and continue evidence.
All rise, please. Getting session.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right. We are back on the record on CR 22211623. We are going to take up an objection outside of the presence of the jury as it relates to the state's proposed exhibit, in this case, particularly state's proposed exhibit 31. And The court had to go back and review some prior rulings in the case that occurred some time ago. I've done that now. So what I'd like to go through is the proffer and determination if there's still a objection to the exhibit and make a ruling on that outside of the jury's presence. So Mr. Wood has offered exhibit 31, which is a timeline, and Mr. Pryor, does the defense maintain an objection to the admission of that timeline?
Judge, I spoke with Ms. Blake.
I spoke with Ms. Blake, and procedurally, I think at the time that the 404B was filed by the state, we were also dealing with the severance issue, is what I recall. And then she discussed that with me. So I think I may have made a non-objection to the 404B. And I think I made a record of that when Mr. Thomas and Mr. Archibald were objecting to that. So I may forego my objection because I think my recollection is I don't have a record of it, Judge, which is a little unusual, but I think I may have noted on the record to the court that I'm not objecting to the introduction of the 404B evidence.
All right, I understand. I think there was lodged an objection back February 14th of 2023 by you to the 404B motion. Does the state have any clarification on that, Mr. Wood?
Your Honor, just based on recollection, I believe it was not an objection to all of the state's intended 404B, but to some of it. My recollection, and I'm not looking at any document, this is just my recollection, was that the defendant did stipulate to some of the 404B, including issues dealing with Charles Ballow and Brandon Boudreaux. That's my recollection.
And Judge, my recollection is that I did file a timely objection, but then at the hearing, there was, and I'm going back, Judge, and we're talking two, three years ago, and I'm just going off of recollection as well, as Mr. Wood is. I believe that I filed an objection, and then at the time of the hearing, I may have orally stated that I'm not objecting to the introduction of the Brandon Boudreaux or the Charles Fallow information. And Mr. Thomas and Mr. Archibald continued theirs, and the hearing was continued on. And somewhere in the interim, Judge, there was a severance order granted. And I don't know whether I was part of the 404B motion. That's where I'm having some difficulty in recollection. And my records don't show an order that you granted the 404B in this case, so I don't see an order in this case.
Okay. So just to clarify, there was an objection was filed on behalf of Mr. Daybell by Mr. Pryor February 14th, 2023 to the 404B. We then had a hearing on the 404B evidence on February 22nd, 2023, the court then issued an oral ruling on the record, and in that oral ruling went through different evidence that was sought to be proffered under 404B. And among the rulings the court made on the court minutes under paragraph 9, specifically referencing consideration of the shooting at Mr. Boudreaux, the court weighed out the 404B arguments and found that it would be admissible at trial. And then in the hearing, I did indicate that I'd gone through the analysis for 404B, looking at the State versus Fox case, doing a two-tiered weighing of the factors, balancing them out with the evidence proffered, and ultimately, and I'm looking at the transcript of this hearing where I made the oral ruling, determining finally, quote, the court does find there is relevance under tier one, parts one and two for the introduction of that evidence, and then I looked at Rule 403 to see if there was probative value to substantially outweigh the danger of unfair prejudice, and finally determine that as to the attempted shooting of Brandon Boudreaux, there would be more probative than unfairly prejudicial as it would relate back to the purported plan of the defendants. So the court did find that the state was permitted to introduce that 404B evidence. So as we stand here, knowing procedurally that's the ruling, on the timeline, I guess I'll first come back to this proposed Exhibit 31 and ask if there's any objection at this point for the defense, Mr. Pryor.
No, Judge.
Okay, so Exhibit 31 then has been offered and will be admitted. I would also note on the record, but I think the door has been open to discuss that anyway based on opening argument as well, but for that reason and also based on the court's prior determination made, I am going to permit that reference on 404B evidence. The reason I'm still discussing this for counsel is I think this now triggers a requirement that I give a limiting instruction to the jurors about how 404B evidence is considered, and I do have prepared a limiting instruction that I am going to advise them of at such point as after your exhibit's been offered, Mr. Wood.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for the delay there. We can bring the jurors back in, please. This is,
I don't know where the,
I've got the actual exhibit.
And Judge, if I could just quickly inquire before the jury comes back in, if the court did have both pages of that, and it's,
I don't, I only have a first page.
Okay. Once we get done with this witness, I'll bring that up.
Okay.
All rise. Jury present and counted for.
All right. Thank you. Please be seated. All right, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, apologies for that delay. We were working through an evidence issue. I will note that the state has offered Exhibit 31, which has now been admitted by the court. It's a timeline. It does make some references in there that, for me at this time, I think would be best to give the jurors a special limiting instruction. So I'll read this instruction to the jurors at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, during the course of this trial, evidence will be introduced for the purpose of showing that the defendant committed acts other than for which the defendant is on trial. Such evidence, if believed, is not to be considered by you to prove the defendant's character or that the defendant has a disposition to commit crimes. Rather, such evidence may be considered by you only for the limited purpose of proving the defendant's motive, opportunity, intent, plan, or absence of mistake or accident. So that instruction provided, Mr. Wood, if you'd like to proceed with that exhibit, you may.
Your Honor, I don't have an exhibit.
Well, I believe the witness does.
May I publish?
Yes.
Just briefly before I do, Detective, before we took a break, we spoke about timeline you had prepared.
Correct.
And the reason you prepared that was to aid the jury in understanding the events of this case.
Yes.
Detective, you can, if you can take your pointer and go through these events and just read them into the record.
July 11th, 2019, Charles Vallo dies. September 2nd through September 3rd, 2019, Lori, Alex, and the kids, JJ and Tyler, moved to Rexburg, Idaho. The last known proof of life for Tylee was September 8th, 2019. The last known proof of life for JJ was September 22nd, 2019. The attempted shooting at Brandon Boudreau, Gilbert, Arizona, or attempted homicide, October 2nd, 2019. The attempted shooting of Tammy Daybell, October 9th, 2019. The death of Tammy Daybell, October 19th, 2019.
Can you continue on the second page?
November 1st, police received a call about a Jeep. The Jeep was located November 4th, 2019. Chad and Lori get married in Kauai, November 5th, 2019. Welfare check on JJ, November 26th, 2019, which is the same day Alex and Chad were contacted. The Rexburg Police Department searched Lori and Alex's apartments, November 27th, 2019. Search warrant served on the Daybell residence was June 9th, on 2020. JJ and Tyler were taken to the Ada County Coroner's office June 10th, 2020. And the autopsy was conducted June 11th of 2020.
Thank you. Your Honor, I have no further questions for this witness at this time.
All right, thank you, Mr. Wood. Mr. Pryor, cross-examination.
Judge, would the court like me to start, or would the court like to take a break, a lunch break?
Let's go ahead and get started with cross and go till it was done, please.
Good afternoon, Officer. Good morning, Officer.
Good morning, sir.
We do know each other. We've at least exchanged pleasantries a couple of times.
Yes, sir.
In the past. And I guess for purposes of this hearing, would you prefer that I refer to you as Lieutenant or Officer?
Lieutenant's fine.
Mr. Pryor, I apologize very much for the interruption. I wanted to confirm something on that last exhibit. It was entered by the court. Is that a demonstrative exhibit?
That's what I understood, Judge.
Either as a demonstrative or a summary.
Okay, thank you, counsel. Apologies for the interruption.
Judge, I'm also looking for the note. Oh, I found it. So, Lieutenant, you've been involved in a number of aspects in regards to this case, right?
That's correct.
You've done some investigation on your own in terms of a welfare check with Lori Vallum, is that right?
Yes.
But you've also interviewed a number of witnesses, is that correct?
Yes.
You interviewed Melanie Gibb, David Warwick, right?
Yes.
Several times?
A few times.
Okay. And you've interviewed a number of other witnesses as it relates to this case, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, now you previously discussed your role as a police officer and investigator in this case. And I guess I want to clarify something if you could, please. As a police officer investigating a case, your role is to conduct an investigation, right? Look at the facts.
Correct.
Try to establish and gain some information, right?
Correct.
But you're not supposed to judge one way or the other, right? You're supposed to remain neutral.
That's correct.
And you're not supposed to narrow that role as a police officer to a particular person. Is that correct?
That's correct.
In other words, you're supposed to look at the evidence as a whole. And rather than focusing on one person and saying, we're going to assume this person did this, and we're going to build our case around prosecuting that person, that would be inappropriate, wouldn't it?
Right.
Your role is actually to look at all the evidence, consider all the evidence, and once you've gathered all the evidence that you think is relevant to a case, what do you do with that evidence?
We follow the evidence.
Okay. And then once you follow the evidence and you've established a report or you've come to concluding your investigation, what do you do with that evidence that you've concluded with?
We put a case together.
Okay, and then do you provide it to someone?
We provide it to the prosecutors.
Okay, so there's distinct roles as part of a criminal case. You'd agree with that, right?
Yes.
And your role is to conduct an investigation, correct?
Correct.
Look into all possible evidence of any kind, correct?
Correct.
And view the evidence, right?
Yes.
Not make any determination as to what that evidence means, but rather gather as much evidence as you think is relevant in your mind and put together a compilation of that evidence, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then at that point, only at that point, do you provide it to the prosecuting attorney and they make a determination as to whether or not they will pursue charges against somebody. Do you understand? Is that the way you understand the process is supposed to work?
Yes.
Okay. And if you were not to follow that process, if you were not to follow what I just described, that wouldn't be appropriate. There's protocols. You agree with that, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you should never blend the roles of a police officer with the role of a prosecuting attorney. You would agree with that, right?
Explain what you mean by blend the roles.
Well, I mean, it's not a prosecutor's role to show up at an investigation when you're conducting an investigation and engage in part of the process of an interviewing witnesses. You'd agree with that, right?
I've had prosecutors show up to certain investigations.
Okay, but that's not the norm, is it?
I think it depends on the investigation.
Okay. So in other words, you think that it's appropriate that if a prosecutor is deciding whether to pursue charges against somebody, that they should also participate in the interviewing of these witnesses as part of that process. Is that what you're telling me?
I think it's important for a prosecutor to have all the information.
Well, doesn't that create a problem in your mind?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, let me talk to you a little bit about that. Because if you're doing an investigation and you're really remaining neutral as part of that investigation, right? You're not supposed to make judgments, correct?
Correct.
You're supposed to look at the evidence, gather all the evidence, and then make a determination of what evidence you want to submit to a prosecuting attorney, right?
Correct.
Do you ever get involved in the process of deciding whether someone should be charged or not?
What do you mean by that, sir?
Well, after the evidence is all gathered, and after you've done your report as a police officer and put together all of the information, do you ever go over to the prosecutor's office and say, you know what, I put this evidence together, and you know what, I want to have a discussion with you about whether or not we want to charge this person? That wouldn't be appropriate, would it?
I'm going to object as argumentative. Sustained.
Okay. But would it be appropriate for a prosecutor to interview witnesses and inject their personal opinion in those processes of interviewing witnesses? Would that be proper under any circumstances?
Yeah, I'm going to object as argumentative.
I'll overrule that objection.
And could you repeat the question again about it?
Yes. But would it be appropriate for a prosecutor to interview witnesses and inject their personal opinion in those processes of interviewing witnesses? Would that be proper under the circumstances?
To interject their personal opinion?
Yeah.
I would say probably not.
Okay. So if you're engaging in name-calling or making references to a person's character in a case, that would clearly be an inappropriate act, would it not?
Objection beyond the scope, Your Honor.
That's the sting. No, that's facts, not evidence.
Go ahead. Okay. Now, you spoke a little bit about this body cam issue. And you said that it was a policy that there's only one body cam among 7 or 10 of you as detectives. Is that right?
No, sir. I never once said it was policy. I just said there was only one body cam.
Oh, so
within 7 detectives.
So in other words, you share a body cam. It's not a policy within the department.
Correct.
Okay. Is there a policy in the department about recording or trying to preserve a record when you're interviewing witnesses?
Yes.
Okay. What's that policy, sir?
When we interview and conduct interviews at the police department?
Yeah.
Those interviews are recorded.
Okay. Now, what about if you're out in the field and you're conducting an interview? Is that to be recorded as well?
There's no policy that says it has to be recorded.
Okay. Do you carry a microphone as well, officer, other than a body cam?
No, not on my person. I don't.
Okay. Do you carry a cell phone while you're doing that that's issued by the county?
Do I keep the cell phone in my car?
Yes. I didn't ask you that. I said, do you carry a cell phone when you go out in the field?
On my person or in my vehicle?
Either one.
In my vehicle.
Okay. And does that cell phone have the technology that allows you to record or photograph and videotape images?
Yes, it does.
Okay. All right. So what I understand is on November 26, 2019, you were directed your folks to go out to the Lori Vallow residence. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, and you said that you were with Ron Ball. Is that who you said you were with?
At one time, yes. I was with a couple different officers that day.
Oh, so tell me who you were with on that day. Mind me.
Detective Dave Holt.
Okay.
Detective David Stubbs.
Okay.
And Lieutenant Ron Ball.
So there were 4 of you who went out there to locate or to find out some information about what again? Remind me.
About the whereabouts of J.J. Vallow.
Okay, and this was a concern that you had because you were contacted by another law enforcement agency expressing concern about the safety of a young child, right?
No, sir.
Okay, tell me what was the purpose.
It was a simple welfare check.
Okay. And you went out on this welfare check, and there were, if my map is correct, please correct me. Did all four of you detectives and lieutenants go out at the same time?
No, sir.
You went out at different times?
Myself and Dave Hope went out initially.
Okay, and then when did the other two officers show up?
When I called them based on the lies that I had been told.
Okay. And these lies that you've been told, at that point, you and Detective Hope, neither of you decided to bring a video camera, right?
That's correct.
And neither of you decided to wear a recorder to record any of the incidents that took place about these so-called lies, right?
That's correct.
And nobody took out their phone and recorded it or made a video or audio recording of the discussion with Mr. Daybell or Mr. Cox on November 26, 2019, right?
That's correct.
And even after you said these so-called lies, even after you discovered that, Mr. Daybell apparently told you something that you didn't think was true, at that point, did you instruct any of the officers who were coming to aid you? Maybe it's a good idea we should bring an audio with or a video camera with us or a mic to record some of these statements because I have some concerns.
Objection, did you think about that? We did that, sir.
Hold on. Okay.
I'm doing that. There was an objection. I'm sustaining the objection. So strike the answer. You can ask another question, Mr. Pryor.
And it was Detective Stubbs who had the video cam, is that right?
That's correct, sir.
Okay. And that was when you video cammed Ms. Ballow, about when you had contact eventually with Ms. Ballow, is that what the video camera that you're talking about?
I didn't have contact with Ms. Ballow.
Now, I'm a little confused about something, and maybe you can clear this up. You said that you asked Mr. Daybell first about whether he had Lori Ballow's phone number, correct?
No, sir. I didn't contact Mr. Daybell until after I contacted Alex Cox.
Okay. At some point, did you ask for Lori Ballow's phone number for Mr. Daybell?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And at no point did you ever make a threat to him saying you're going to turn this phone number over to us, right?
No, sir.
At no point did any other officer walk up to him and say, if you don't turn this phone number over, you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble. That never took place to your knowledge, right?
That's correct.
Okay. But then after that, you're saying, at first he said, I'm not going to give you the phone number. And then out of the blue, he decides to give you the phone number.
Objection misstates the facts and evidence.
Okay. Then subsequent to that, he's...
Well, that's Mr. Pryor. When there's an objection, I'm going to rule on it before you launch into another question. So the objection is sustained.
Subsequent to that, he decides to give you the phone number. Is that right?
Can you repeat the question, please?
I'll go back over the analysis here.
Thank you.
Okay. Your testimony is that Mr. Daybell refused to give you the phone number at first, correct?
That's correct.
And that was an adamant refusal. He said, no, I don't know what her phone number is, right?
That's correct.
And then without any further prompting by the police officers or any encouragement by law enforcement, he shows back up and gives you the phone number later, right?
Objection, he's misstating the facts and the evidence.
Well, I'm trying to establish the facts, Judge.
The objection's overruled. If the witness has an answer, he may answer.
You say he showed back up. He never left when I originally asked him.
Okay.
I had to ask him twice to get the phone number.
Okay. And how much time passed between the first request and the second request?
Roughly a minute.
Okay. So without any prompting by the police, he asked him for the phone number. He denied. And then within 60 seconds, he said, oh, here's the phone number. Is that what your testimony is?
When Detective Hope started walking towards us, and I re-asked him again, that's when he gave me the number.
So you had to ask him twice, is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Now you, I'm going to kind of bounce around a little bit, okay? Please bear with me, okay? You made a comment about supposed paintball guns, and if I misquote your testimony, please correct me, okay? You said something about a supposed paintball gun incident with Tammy Daybell, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then you later on decided that it was the words you used were a shooting. Is that the words you used?
Probably.
Well, you were just here testifying a few minutes ago and just used the word shooting when Mr. Wood talked to you about that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, as part of your investigation, you got a chance to look at all the evidence, right? In this case, you got access to almost all the evidence in this case.
That's correct.
And have you gone through all the evidence in this case?
Yes, I have.
Okay, and did you look at evidence of facts and circumstances surrounding the Tammy Daybell incident on October 9th?
Yes.
Okay. And Judge, just bear with me.
Your Honor, if he's going to be showing evidence digitally, you will put our screen back up.
Yeah.
Not sure I'm going to be up there, but okay. Now, I would represent to you that we previously stipulated to the admission of a number of exhibits in this case. And one of the exhibits is exhibit number 16. Okay? And the parties that previously exhibited, Judge, we've already looked at it, it's already been exhibited. So what I'm going to do is show you exhibit 16. Okay?
And this is what already admitted.
It's already been admitted, Judge, previously. Mm-hmm. Now, you talked about facts, and you used the word shooting, is what you used, right? With Tammy Daybell?
Right.
And you don't believe that Tammy Daybell was shot at with anything other than a paintball gun, do you?
Objection, relevance.
Horrible.
You don't believe that Tammy Daybell was shot with anything other than a paintball gun, do you?
Yes, I do, sir.
Okay, and what do you base that on?
The evidence through our investigation.
Okay. And part of your investigation is did you look at the Tammy Daybell evidence that she provided to your office?
To my office or Fremont County?
Fremont County.
I did.
Okay. And one of the pieces of evidence is exhibit number 16. Judge, I don't see it going up.
All right. Counsel, if you'd like, we can take a motion break or we can keep moving on here for a minute.
Here we are, Judge.
Okay.
Okay. And officer, I'd have you turn to the screen and see if you can read the screen. Just read it. Not out loud, just to yourself. Let me know when you're done.
I'm done, sir.
Okay. And I would represent to you that this is a email from Tammy Daybell to her friends in the Salem Third Ward of her church. Okay? And would you start with the word something and read the email to me, please?
Something really weird just happened. I want you to know so you can watch out. I'd gotten home and parked in our front driveway. As I was getting stuff out of the back seat, a guy wearing a ski mask suddenly standing at the back of my car with a paintball gun. He shot at me several times, although I don't think it was loaded. I yelled for Chad and he ran around the back of the house. I have no idea what his motive was, and he never spoke, even after I asked him several times what he though.
Okay. So, and do you see the date on this email? It's no. Just about friends there.
Are you going to object to this being characterized as an email?
I'll sustain that.
Okay.
Do you want to clarify, Mr. Farley, what type of communication it is?
Well, it's a communication to the friends of the church, and I think it's a text message.
I'm sorry.
I can. I believe it's a text message. Judge, I may have misstated that it was an email.
Okay.
My apologies. So this text message went out to all of the friends of the Salem Third Ward. It's an LDS ward over in the town of Salem, right?
I can't answer that.
I don't know. You know where the town of Salem is, right?
I do.
And that's a town that's close to Rexburg?
Correct.
Okay. And obviously, you can't answer that about the ward or anything like that, but obviously the term ward would suggest that it's some sort of a religious group of folks they're talking to, right?
Correct.
Okay. But this email doesn't say that she was shot with a gun, or there's even a mention of a gun. The email talks about a paintball.
Again, I'm going to object to characterization of this as an email.
When there's an objection, Mr. Pryor, again, you've got to have time to get it on the record, make a ruling, and then respond to base. So if it sustained, mistakes the evidence.
Text.
I'm also going to object to this being described as a text message. There needs to be some foundation for what this evidence actually is.
Judge, I don't need a foundation. This has been admitted as an exhibit. This
all
is
right. I'll overrule that objection. Jury can review it in the format it came in with the screen capture.
Okay. So at any rate, this message from Ms. Daybell to the people in the third ward doesn't say that it was a gun, does it?
It just says it's a paintball gun.
Oh, it says it's a paintball gun. You're right. Okay.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't say any other gun, though, right? There's any confusion about that, right?
Not in this email or text.
Okay. Did you also have a patient to look at the, I'll be bringing that up later, but the search engine from Tammy Daybell's account?
No, I did not look at the search engine for Tammy's.
I'm going to hack his name, but one of the officers, Officer K, Officer K was provided search information that Tammy Daybell engaged in regarding paintball guns in a picture. Are you aware of that?
Objection calls for speculation.
I'm asking whether he's aware of it.
Overall.
Are you aware of it?
I was aware that he was provided information. I can't tell you exactly what information he was.
Okay, we'll get to that in another day. But did you also listen to the 911 call that was made regarding the paintball incident?
I did.
Okay. And there was no mention of a gun in that 911 call, right?
No.
The mention in the 911 call is that someone took a shot at me or tried to take a shot with a paintball gun, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So the suggestion today that it was a gun is based on your own hunch, right?
No, sir.
Well, do you have the gun?
I have evidence of Google searches done by Alex Cox around that time.
Okay. Do you have information as to where Alex Cox was at the time of this alleged shooting?
Yes, sir.
You do have evidence of that?
He was at the Daybell residence earlier that day.
I didn't ask you on the day of the Daybell residence, at the time of this shooting. And do you recall when this shooting took place?
I believe it was maybe 8 in the evening, maybe.
Right. And let's clarify this, because the data that you have regarding him being at the residence was much earlier in the day, right?
That's correct.
And you don't have any data that shows that Alex Cox's phone dinged or any other communication device that Alex Cox had was at the location of the house at the time of this paintball incident, do you?
At the time, no, sir.
Okay. And so at this point, the information you're talking about is there's some Google searches by Alex Cox, correct?
That's correct.
And the information is that you've decided to not take into consideration Tammy Daybell's own statement about a paintball gun?
Objection. This states his testimony.
Sustained.
So what other information are you leaning on to suggest that this was anything but a paintball gun?
The Google searches performed by Alex Cox talked about shooting through a Dodge Dakota.
Okay. And I appreciate that. And that would be one of Chad and Tammy Daybell's vehicles. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Were you aware of who was driving the Dodge Dakota at the time that incident took place?
No, sir.
Okay. Did you talk to any of the family members, any of the four children about Who was actually the driver of this Dodge Dakota that Alex Cox was trying to figure out a way to shoot through?
We attempted to contact those children and they wouldn't speak with us.
Okay. Okay, so you don't know whether Chad Daybell or Tammy Daybell were driving that Dodge Dakota, right?
That's correct.
So the reality is that Tammy Daybell was driving the Dodge Dakota. It sounds like Alex Cox had something for Tammy Daybell. Is that what you're suggesting?
I'm not suggesting that. I'm just simply stating what Mr. Cox's Google searches were around the time of that shooting.
Okay, and you're basing those Google searches on your position that you believe this was a shooting, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so if Chad Daybell was driving the Dodge Dakota during this time, and he was the primary driver and maybe the only driver, would that mean then you would be looking at whether Alex Cox was trying to shoot Chad Daybell?
Chad Daybell didn't call in a 911 call and said he was shot at Tammy Daybell.
Yeah, but Tammy Daybell called in a 911 call about a paintball gun. And it was a paintball gun. And we'll have Officer Cannon talk about that. And we'll listen to the 911 call.
Objection, that's not a question.
Well, the question is,
Mr. Pryor, again, you've got to give me an opportunity to rule an objection. If it is sustained, let's just argue it's not a question. You can ask another question.
The shooting and the call that's taking place was in reference to a paintball gun incident, wasn't it?
Can you repeat the question, sir? I couldn't hear you.
The call that was made regarding this incident was a 911 call about a paintball incident, wasn't it? They used the words paintball in the 911 call, didn't they?
That's correct.
We'll move on. Okay. Now, we previously talked about, and Judge, I don't know when you want to stop. I've got a ways to go.
I think this probably is a good time for the lunch break, even though I'm... So we will take our lunch recess. That will be an hour. We'll plan on coming back on for additional testimony around 10 and a quarter after 1.
All rise, please.
Thank you. Please be seated. Mr. Pryor, are you ready to continue with your cross-examination?
Yes, Judge.
Okay, we'll go ahead and have the jurors brought in.
Mr. Judge, would you prefer to wait?
It's up to you. You can go take the podium if you'd like, or you can wait a chance to say what.
All rise, please.
The jury is present and counsel.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right, we are back on the record on case CR 2221-1623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. The defense is conducting cross examination of the witness, Detective Hermosillo. Mr. Pryor, if you'd like to continue, ma'am.
Officer Hermosillo, I'm going to take my time. I had probably a little too much coffee this morning, so I avoided that over the lunch hour. Now I think I'm okay. Let's hope so. I think the judges admonished me enough at this point that I think I got the point. So we're going to go a little slower, if you don't mind. So I want to go back to the paintball incident. And you said that one of the pieces of evidence was that Alex Cox had Googled a black Dodge Dakota, correct?
He Googled what caliber it would take to shoot through the windshield of Dodge Dakota.
Was it the windshield?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. Judge, there's previously been an admission of Exhibit 34 by stipulation. That's Homer J. Maximus with a reference to the state as well. And we'll get back to that in a minute. But there was at least a reference at some point that there was going to be trying to find out what kind of caliber it would take to penetrate a Dodge Dakota vehicle. So, windshield or otherwise, correct?
Correct.
And you took that as a threat, as a means of saying that's why Alex Cox was trying to kill Tammy Daybell.
That Google search, along with him being at that residence that same day earlier.
Okay.
And the incident involving Tammy Daybell.
Okay. Okay.
That,
okay. And those, that's what drew you to that conclusion. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So we don't know who was driving the Dodge Dakota regularly, do we? Because he didn't speak with the kids. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And we do know that on the day that you said Chad Daybell, at least you were alleging that Chad Daybell fled on sometime in June 9th.
Is that correct? Objection mistakes the testimony.
Well, try to clarify that. High rate of speed, Chad Daybell left the area. Is that fair?
That's fair.
That's what you're stating, correct?
That's correct.
And in the vehicle that he was in, do you know that that was the Dodge Dakota that supposedly he was fleeing in?
It was not Dodge Dakota he was fleeing in.
Okay, what vehicle was he fleeing in?
I can't recall off the top of my head. We have it in inbound, but it wasn't the Dodge Dakota.
Okay. Okay. So there were two vehicles, an Equinox and a Dodge Dakota.
Which day, sir?
On June 9th. Which there are two vehicles that the Daybells own, the Equinox and the Dodge Dakota. Which one was it that he was allegedly fleeing?
I can't recall the vehicle that he was arrested.
Okay. That's fair. So just to recap, we know that there was a Google search by Alex Cox on his Homer J. Maximus account, correct?
Correct.
And that there was an allegation that someone was, or that Alex Cox was trying to figure out what type of caliber to at least shoot at a black Dodge Dakota, correct?
Correct.
Okay. We don't know who the target was, or who was the target was in that Dodge Dakota, but we know someone who owned the vehicle, obviously, right?
Well, I would assume so.
Okay. Now, that's what you based on the fact that you thought that there was an attempt on Tammy Daybell that day, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, when you read that email from the Homer J, or the search from the Homer J. Maximus account, did you take into consideration the date of when that search took place?
I did.
And when was that?
I can't recall. I have to refer to my notes.
Okay. I'm going to take the liberty of helping you out a little bit. At least I think I'm going to help you out. There. Judge, I don't know why it's not going up on the screen.
Is this an exhibit?
34.
Sorry. Which 34 has sub exhibits?
I believe it's A, Judge.
34A is admitted previously by stipulation. 34A is what you're trying to publish, Mr. Clark?
Yes, Judge.
I don't know if there's someone can assist to see it, but the. Okay, it is admitted.
There we go. I'm sorry, and I don't know what. All the best laid plans to prepare for this. So I'd like you to take a look up at the screen, if you would. Look at the date of when this search took place.
Okay.
And what is that date?
October 12th.
Of?
2019.
Okay, now what was the date that allegedly Tammy Daybell was shot at with a paintball gun?
October 9th, 2019.
So if I understand, the incident with the paintball gun took place 3 days before this search took place.
Correct.
Okay. But you still continue to believe that was the basis for someone going after Tammy Daybell, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. But you don't have any Google searches that suggest anything else in a threatening manner. This is the one and only that you're relying on. Is that right?
No, that's not right.
All right. What else are you relying on?
You scroll up on October 9th, I believe that evening.
Okay. Go ahead.
Alex Cox Googles how to make an AR-15 function in cold weather.
Okay.
There's some other Googles if you'd like to pull it up.
Well, I've got those and we're going to go through those. And we'll have an opportunity to do that. But
And that was the night Tammy was shot at.
Okay. And he Googled that night, right?
That's correct.
What time of night was that, do you recall?
I didn't look at my notes.
Okay. Okay, but he also had a habit of Googling a lot of things, right?
I can't answer that.
Well, you know about the Hannibal Lecter thing, right?
No, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, before we get to the Hannibal Lecter thing, let's talk a little bit about some of the other searches from Homer J. Maximus.
October 21, best tactical cutting knives, right?
Correct.
See that one?
All right, and Mr. Pryor, you're going to have to stay by that microphone or we don't pick up what you said.
Okay, Judge. October 22nd, 2019, sharpening swords, knife sharpener, right?
Correct.
Okay, what was the date of Tammy Daybell's death?
October 19th, 2019.
Okay, so 3 days after Tammy Daybell dies, Alex Cox is still looking at sharpening swords and a block knife sharpener 3 days after Tammy Daybell's death. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. October 23rd, 4 days after Tammy Daybell's died. 15 facts about the silence of the lambs you didn't know. Call that one?
No, sir.
Okay. And that was 4 days after Tammy dies, right?
Sure.
Okay. Now, when you searched, and I believe it was 107, was that the unit that we found all of the knives and the guns?
No, sir. That was 175.
Okay, 175. That was Lori Vallow's unit then, right?
That was the unit that Lori Vallow lived in, but Alex Cox was on the tenant agreement.
Okay. Okay. And your testimony previously, I believe that was a day or so ago, there were a significant number of weapons found, right?
That's correct.
Did you do a check on all of those weapons to see who they belonged to?
I personally did not do a check on all those weapons.
What about the knives or the ammunition? Did you check and see who those belonged to?
I'm not quite sure how to check on who the knives belonged to.
I don't either. I just asked because I... So, are you presuming that the owner of those knives and guns and ammunition is Alex Cox?
They were found amongst his belongings, so okay. I assume that is.
Now, we talked about this before when I was doing some voir dire and native objection, that a lot of those items were items, the knives and the ammunition were items that you pulled out of bags and displayed for purposes of for lack of a better word, staging them for your photo op, right?
That's correct.
Okay. But again, all of the ammunition, all of the weapons, all of the knives, and the ski mask, that was found at Alex Cox's, at or near Alex Cox's belongings, right?
Correct.
So I don't want you to speculate, but you're presuming that Alex Cox owned all of those, right?
That's correct.
There's no indication that that Lori Vallow had several guns and knives and things like that. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Okay. I want to switch gears a little bit. And I want to talk to you a little bit about Charles Vallow.
Okay.
And I assume you've been communicating with the folks down in Arizona about all of that. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay, so you're well-versed in the facts as it relates to Charles Vallow, correct?
No, I wouldn't say well-versed. I know the basics.
Okay, but are part of the basics to know where the court proceedings are and who was charged with what?
You would have to be more specific.
Okay, and do you know currently who's charged in the death of Charles Vallow?
Yes.
Okay, who is that?
Lori Vallow.
Okay, are you aware that the prosecuting attorney down in Maricopa County issued a...
Objection, hearsay?
That's the same.
Judge, I'm asking whether he's aware, not whether he...
Well, by the time you say what he's aware of, then all the information's coming through his identity, so it's sustainable.
Okay. Are you aware that Chad Daybell is not charged with anything in Maricopa County relating to Charles Vallow?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Brandon Boudreaux's next. Who's been charged in the allegations against Brandon Boudreaux?
Lori Vallow.
Is there anybody else?
Not that I'm aware.
Okay, and you're also aware that Chad Daybell has not been charged in the allegations as they relate to Brandon Boudreaux. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. Now, if Alex Cox was still alive, there's the suggestion seems to be that he would have been charged with both of those offenses. Would that be fair?
Objection calls for speculation.
Sustained.
Okay. Do you have any information as to who killed Charles Vallow?
Yes.
Who do you believe killed Charles Vallow?
Alex Cox.
Okay. Who do you believe took the shot at Brandon Boudreaux?
Alex Cox.
Okay. Thank you. Now, did you have the occasion to look into the history of Alex Cox a little bit?
Briefly.
Okay. Were you aware of an incident that occurred in, let me get the date right, August 5th of 2007?
You'd have to be more specific about what occurred on that date, sir.
On that date, there was an allegation that there was an assault on a Joseph Ryan.
Correct.
You're familiar with that, is that right?
Yes.
And in 2007, is there any indication that Chad Daybell knew Lori Vallow in 2007?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Okay. And in that incident, are you aware that Alex Cox committed aggravated assault on Joseph Ryan?
Your Honor, at this point, I'm going to object to relevance.
I think we're outside the scope of what's happening in this case, Mr. Pryor.
Judge, could I approach, please, with counsel?
Sure. I'll side watch.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.